Welcome to Have You Tried Turning It Off and On Again? I'm your host, David Crook. Last time we talked about creating SQL database projects, what that process looked like. We walked through creating a sample database project for our artificial intelligence engine. Today we're going to go through actually deploying that database. This is going to be the entire schema to SQL Azure. So let's go ahead and take a look at what that looks like. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to begin by opening up Visual Studio so we can take a look at the work that we did during the last episode of Have You Tried Turning It Off and On Again? Again, we're using Visual Studio Community 2015, which is the new free version of Visual Studio. It's like Express. It's just the new version of Express. It has a lot more features than Express, like the ability to add extensions. So let's begin by opening up our previous project and just taking a look at the tables before we go ahead and deploy those. Again, we built things like the tweets table, the annotated tweets table, annotated words. We did things like foreign keys. We had junction tables. We had reference tables, those sorts of things. So we built the schema. And what we're going to do now is deploy this schema out to SQL Azure. So the first thing we need to do when deploying a schema out to Azure is to go to azure.com. Azure is part of the Microsoft public cloud offering. Go to azure.com. It will reroute you to azure.microsoft.com. And in the top right-hand corner, click Portal. This is going to take you to the portal, which gives you access to all the features that are Azure. When you go to log into Azure, it's going to ask you for your credentials. I'm using my drcrookdata@outlook.com. This is a Microsoft account. You can use any email address. If you don't have a Microsoft account, when you go to sign in, you can sign up now and use any email address. That then becomes your Microsoft account. You can use a Gmail account, a Hotmail account, a My Domain account. Pretty much any account can be turned into a Microsoft account. So once we get into Azure, you'll notice that we have a series of features on the left-hand side. Those features I like to think of as the major features. Clicking on one of those features then reveals a main page on the right-hand side, which has access to some of the sub-features within that feature. Those are going to be things like management, scaling, things of that nature. Microsoft Azure has access to infrastructure as a service as well as platform as a service. Azure SQL actually falls within the platform as a service capabilities, and we'll kind of show off what that means during this video. So we see everything starting to load up. We can see that we have all the features on our left-hand side, and in the middle we're starting to populate with all items that we have. We'll begin by clicking on SQL databases, which will show the current SQL databases that I have in my current subscription. And then click on the New button in the bottom left-hand corner. This is how you create new resources of any kind on Azure from the old portal. We're going to click on Data Services, then SQL Database, and go ahead and just do a quick create as opposed to a custom create. Custom create gives you a few more flexible options. We're not really going to dive into those right now. We're just going to quick create a DRC Teddy demo. I like to do my initials, followed by the project name, followed by demo for anything that I do for demos. I really like to use naming conventions for any resources I create, especially when it comes to anything that's going to be centralized like Azure is. Our server, we're going to choose a already created server that I've had before. If you don't have a server already created, you can actually use a new server and it will create one with a random name for you. I chose to create one in the eastern U.S. because I live in Pompano Beach, Florida. Therefore, it makes most sense for me to have a server located in the east U.S. so I can upload data, schemas, and things like that significantly faster. If I located it on the west coast, well, that information now has to travel like 3,000 miles. That doesn't make a lick of sense. So I put everything in the east coast so it has a lower distance. It's computers, but you're still restricted by the properties of physics. So go ahead and click the Create Database button, and it'll go ahead and start allocating that database on that server for you. SQL Azure databases are restricted to 500 gigabytes, So that's actually quite a substantial amount of data for a transactional database system. There's also the capability of expanding that out using Elasta database and Elasta Query. We'll cover that in future videos. One of the other things to note is you'll see that I actually didn't create a virtual machine. I didn't install an operating system. I didn't install a specific version of SQL Server. That's because what we're using is a platform as a service capability, and the Azure platform takes care of all those worries for us. Another really cool benefit that we'll get by using platform as a service offerings is any of the compliance levels that are given to us for that product. You can go to the Azure Trust Center to take a look at what compliance levels are given for specific products. And those will be things like HIPAA compliance and FedRAMP compliance. So once you create a resource under one of those compliance levels, it's going to be at that compliance level for you, and you don't have to worry about anything. It's phenomenal. It cuts your time to market for difficult things like HIPAA compliant products significantly. Really love using the platform as a service capabilities. So we'll speed things up a little bit, and you can see that our SQL database is now online and created. It takes approximately 1 to 2 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes. I don't really know what affects that, but that seems to be generally the allocation time for one of these resources. And once we have that created, we're ready to go ahead and deploy our database schema to it. So we'll begin by right-clicking our database project, navigating down to the Publish button, and just selecting that. That's right, you can literally right-click Publish. First thing we gotta do is edit the target database connection. Right now it's blank, so click the Edit button. And the first thing that it's gonna ask for is a server name. You'll notice this is one of the neat things is that we have a endpoint access to the Azure server. So it's going to be drcteddyannotator.database.windows.net. This is actually an endpoint. We don't have an actual connection. We just have an endpoint. It's going to use our username, password to actually bring us to the correct database on that server. So we'll go ahead and copy that and paste it into server name. To log into the server, we have to use SQL Server authentication. It's a SQL Server. So I use drcrook in my password. Alternatively, you can go to the dashboard for your server, your database instance, click on connection strings on the right, and take a look at all the connection strings that you have, 80.NET, ODBC, PHP, and JDBC. So you can see your username, your password is blanked out. Now that we have all this done, we're going to go ahead and select the database that we want to have access to. It's actually going to connect to the server and give us access to a number of databases on that server. We're going to pick the DRC Teddy demo, the database we actually just created in a previous step. From here, we're going to not click on attaching a database file. We're going to select the database and click test connection. We want to make sure it works. You'll see that the test connection has succeeded. I'm going to show a little bit later, if you're having issues with this, how you can actually change your IP whitelist on the server to allow connections from your client. That's the most likely issue. We're going to actually save the publish settings because, you know, sometimes stuff happens, you'll see later in the video, where it doesn't publish the way you thought it would, and it's great to have those saved so you don't have to enter them again. At this point, we're going to click publish. And as I alluded to earlier, this is actually not going to work. We actually made a fatal mistake with this particular publish, and that's because we're attempting to publish to SQL Server 2014 when the target is actually Azure SQL Database version 12. The way that we resolve this is by going to the Solution Explorer, right-clicking on projectteddy.sql, and going down to the Properties. From here, in the middle of the screen, you can see Target Platform. Our target platform should be Microsoft Azure SQL Database version 12. That's what we're deploying to. That's what our target platform should be. Again, I have no idea how exactly that changes things, and that's the beauty, I think, of the Microsoft tools is it abstracts that layer away from me, and it just works. I really like this. So from here, we're going to go ahead, right-click, and publish again. And at this point, instead of trying to enter all the information, we saved our published profile. We're going to click on the Load Profile button this time. And it'll bring in all the settings that we previously entered, so we don't have to enter them again. It makes it, you know, really straightforward. At this point, we'll go ahead and click Publish. So it's going to go through the entire process of pushing our schema out to SQL. It's going to do a comparison. If there's conflicts that might lose data, for example, it'll come back and say, hey, you shouldn't publish this because there's going to be data loss. Really cool tool. You can also do things like schema compares with the database projects. And not only does it work against SQL Azure, it works against regular SQL databases as well. Freaking awesome. While we wait for that to publish, go ahead to the Azure portal again and click on Manage Allowed IP Addresses from your dashboard in the SQL area. And you can see here that I've gone ahead and configured the world to have access to my SQL server. You can see I've got a starting IP address of 0.0.0.0 and an ending of 255.255.255.255. So if you're getting a publish error in which it says IP address whatever is not allowed, come in here and add that particular IP address into the start IP address range and the end IP address range so that you're allowing just your machine access into your SQL server. You'll also notice that the SQL Server services are enabled for us. And that's it. Our publish is totally done. So we actually have our schema out into SQL Azure. So let's go ahead and just verify this, because verifying what you've done is always a good thing to do. Click on the SQL Server Object Explorer. If you don't have access to this, you can type SQL Server Object Explorer in the quick launch bar in the top right-hand section of Visual Studio. From here, you can see there's a little plus server button. You'll probably have to add your server, doing the same kind of additions like we did earlier. I've already authenticated into my server multiple times, so we'll go about expanding my server out. It's actually going to make calls out to that server to see what databases are in there, and we'll expand the DRC Teddy demo. Again, this is actually going to make a call out to SQL Azure and see what is actually in there. From here, we'll expand tables. Once we expand tables, we'll see that it begins making another call out to SQL Azure to see, hey, what tables do I have available? And it'll come back, and we can actually see that all of our tables are deployed. So just to verify that we have data in our tables and that the actual columns got deployed, let's go ahead and click on dbo.annotatedwords, right-click that, and click on View Data. This is actually going to go and query our SQL Azure database for all of the data that exists within that particular table in our database. As we haven't actually deployed any data, we expect to see one row that has nothing but null values within it. And there we have it. All of our columns are there. We have all the null values that we expect. So that's a wrap. I'd like to thank everybody for coming and hanging out with me on Have You Tried Turning It Off and On Again? I'm your host, David Crook, and we'll take a look at what we can do next time on the show. Thank you. Bye.